This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We talk to Wesley Morris every now and then. He's a critic at large for the New York Times. We call him up to talk about popular culture and movies and race in this society, a bunch of other stuff as well. He had a piece in the Times Magazine last weekend. It was titled, "The Last Taboo, Why Pop Culture Just Can't Deal with Black Male Sexuality." We're going to take that. We're going to riff on it a little bit and talk about African-Americans on the big and small screens, including in a film out just last week. It's called Moonlight. Wesley, it's good to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you, Kai.
I want to start with this movie that you talk about in your magazine piece this weekend, but which is, you say, in the course of that conversation, you say it's just an exquisite film.
In terms of what the story actually is doing is pretty simple. It's just a story of this one person's life over the course of about 15 or 20 years. And it's about him trying to figure out or not figure out his sexuality. But the movie is sort of interested in a lot of other ideas around black life and black culture, basically.
What's interesting is you waited until the end of that paragraph to get to the fact that it's a black kid and a black man talking about sexuality on the screen.
I don't know. I mean, I thought it was interesting to try not to make this argument about this movie that some people are trying to make, that it's universal, because that is in some ways true, but it is also very, very specifically about being a black male and how a certain aspect of black male identity gets constructed around the expectations of what a black male is supposed to be, regardless of what his sexuality is.
Pull it back for me then, would you, from this film and from movies specifically, and let's talk a little bit here about blacks in popular culture and in the way they are portrayed, not necessarily on the big screen, but on the small screen. This is a good time, you have said in the Times and other places, to be black and on television.
Yes. I think there are two things that can explain this. I think thing number one, there are more channels to put programming on than there ever previously have been. Mm. And I just don't think there are enough white people to be on all those channels. So invariably, somebody is going to just have to let some people of color on TV. It's more that there are more different kinds of black people doing more different kinds of things on TV, as opposed to the David Simon version of the black experience,
which
pretty much limits it to cops and criminals,
right.
Which, you know, I love The Wire, but you can do The Wire, you can do Empire, you can do Queen Sugar, you can do Atlanta, you can do How to Get Away with Murder. I mean, there are a lot of different things you can do.
And the thing about those shows that you just ticked off, and these are your words, not mine, right? They make integration look like it's supposed to be. They don't make integration look like work, you know?
Right. And so I think what happens now is these shows aren't even arguing for integration. Some of them are just entirely black.
Yep.
There's no white best friend. There's no white infrastructure in which these characters work. It's just an entirely black world. And it also feels authentic to the places in which some of these shows are set.
How come television does this so much better than the movies do? So at least lately?
I think a lot of that has to do with the priorities of the movie industry. To the idea of a show like Atlanta existing at the movies is harder to understand or to see. Now, there's a monthly Kevin Hart movie.
Yeah, there is. That's right.
But it can't be Kevin Hart all the time either.
Right.
Every season of television brings about 15 people I had never heard of before. I mean, Queen Sugar that comes on OWN, it's Oprah Winfrey, it's Ava DuVernay's soap opera about a family in New Orleans. And there are so many great black actors who have just been, I mean, the only word for them is journeyman. They've been working for a long time and have never had parts as juicy as the ones they have on this show.
They're the overnight successes that took 20 years, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Wesley Morris is a critic at large for The New York Times. I cannot recommend to you highly enough his piece in The New York Times Magazine this past Sunday. It's called The Last Taboo. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Kai.